right, if you have your Bible, if you would take it and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Now, I know how some of y'all are. Y'all are already looking at your watch and you're saying, now you're getting in the pulpit about 10 minutes later than you normally do. Does that mean that we're going to have to stay 10 minutes longer? And I'll say, and to that I will say, maybe not. Maybe you will. I don't know. We'll see what happens. during the Christmas season, we like to celebrate, and we feel like it's a time filled with joy, but we can't forget that many of us carry quiet burdens through the holiday season. Uncertainty, grief, weariness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
And a deep longing for lasting hope. We live in a world that is constantly searching for hope, but where can we find a hope that endures, a hope that does not disappoint, a hope that anchors the soul through every storm? We find it in a humble manger in Bethlehem, where the hope of the world was born. So this morning, true hope has come into the world, and His name is Jesus. So let's look at our passage together and hear the story of His birth, starting in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. She gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So this passage is very familiar to us. Many of us probably read it on Christmas or at our Christmas gatherings with our family as a cherished tradition. But it is so much more than something that we read out of tradition. It is the account of God's eternal hope breaking into human history. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, our hope, Jesus, being born. So let's walk through our passage and see what God's Word teaches. But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we walk now, moving through this passage of Scripture, our prayer is that You would bring a fresh look at this very familiar passage, that You would help us to look at this with clear eyes, clear minds, and be able to understand what it is that's happening in this moment. So, Lord, we pray that Your Word would be clearly explained and that Your Spirit would help us to understand. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus is our hope. And as we move through our passage, the first thing that we see about our hope is that our hope has arrived. Our passage begins with a Roman emperor making a decree that his entire empire needed to be registered. Now, historians will tell us that this was done for taxation and military enlistment purposes. The emperor wanted to know who they were, where they were, what they did, how much money he could get from them, but he also wanted to know if there were any men of military age that were not being used, that could be used for his empire and his conquest. So we know two things for sure about this. Everyone has to go back to their hometown. And the second thing that we know is that there was a deadline to register. We know these two things. The first one, because Joseph and Mary leave Nazareth. They don't just register where they're at. They have to go home and make the almost 90-mile journey to Bethlehem, which is their hometown. It says because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, but he was not only from the house and lineage of David. Mary was as well. So that family, regardless of if they're together or not, they would both have had to make that journey. They're together, so they make it together, and they go to this 90-mile, go on this 90-mile journey to Bethlehem. We know that there was a deadline to register because Mary was about to have her baby. And I don't know about y'all, but if you've ever had a pregnant wife who's about to bust, you don't make a 90-mile journey. We have cars today, and we don't even do that, right? Because who knows when that baby could come? We don't want to have it happen on the side of the interstate, right? They don't want to have it happen on their way to Bethlehem. So there was a deadline. There had to be, because it's not the best time for traveling, but she goes anyway. So they make this trip so that Jesus could be born in Bethlehem. See, as we look at the timing of what takes place, we see the sovereignty of God. The fact that God uses even the edicts of earthly rulers to carry out his redemptive purposes. Micah 5:2 tells us, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days." So they make the trip to Bethlehem. Not because the emperor told them to, but because in God's sovereignty, he planned it so that they would be in Bethlehem when Jesus was born. So the emperor was used by God to get them there. And it was while they were there in Bethlehem that the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Now, that just blows my mind. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about it on Wednesday at our Christmas Eve service. You see how I plugged that in there to get y'all to come back, right? But it just baffles me how the birth of the Savior is just told, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And that's it. Anyway, I'll save the rest for Wednesday. Mary goes into labor, and Jesus is born in the most unlikely place. He's wrapped in simple cloths, and he's laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. And a lot of times, our tradition puts Jesus in a stable, right, with animals all around him. And we don't know the exact placement of Jesus. Most likely, he was born in some type of place where animals were kept. But what we do know is that it was not in an inn. And in the inn doesn't mean that Holiday Inn Express was full. Their hotels back then were not what ours are. It was basically guest rooms in houses, or a person that would have a few rooms that they would rent out to people that were traveling through. And obviously, with the registration happening, there's sure to be a lot of people traveling, right? So I would assume it'd be a little slower going for a man with his 9-month pregnant wife traveling 90 miles. So they get there late. All the rooms are already taken. So they're not in a guest room or an inn of any kind because there's no room. So think of how profound and ironic this situation is. that the one who created the universe enters into his creation in utter vulnerability. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills is laid in a feeding trough that cows eat from. The one who through whom all things hold together is wrapped in swaddling cloths by a young mother. Well, why does Jesus come this way? It is because when the hope we desperately needed arrived, it was to be for everyone. We see that truth as our hope is announced. Shepherds who were at the bottom of the social ladder in first century Judea, they were considered ritually unclean because of the work that they did, and they were often viewed with suspicion. But it is to these men that the greatest announcement in human history comes. They're out in the fields, they're doing their job, when suddenly an angel appears. Now that's got to be terrifying enough. But the Bible says that God's glory shines around them. So it's dark. I'm sure it's got some light because, you know, there's stars in the sky and everything like that. But all of a sudden an angel appears and the glory of God shines around them. They are terrified, as anyone would be. I mean, if an angel appeared right here and the glory of God shined around him, we would all be terrified. Would we not? Or I would. Y'all might not be. I would. But this is why the angel's first words are, and if you look throughout Scripture, most of the time when an angel or something divine appears to humans, their first words are usually something of do not be afraid, fear not. They say, fear not. See, the angel's not there in judgment or for something bad. He is delivering good news of great joy that will be for all people. So don't be afraid. I'm coming to bring you good news. Not just good news, but news that is going to bring great joy. And not just to you, but to everyone. So what's the good news? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The hope of the world has come. He is Savior, the one who will deliver us from sin, death, and that serpent. From Genesis chapter 3. Remember him? He's going to crush the head. He is Christ. He's the Messiah, the long-awaited promised one, the promised deliverer of Genesis 3, the promised ruler of Genesis 49, the promised king of 2 Samuel 7. The hope that we have longed for is now here. And he is Lord, the one true king, and God himself in the flesh. He is saying he is God, our Savior, the long-awaited one who is God in the flesh. Anticipating that the shepherds would want to find him, I mean, that's great news, right? But where is he? So anticipating that, the angel says, and this will be a sign for you. You're going to find him decked out in gold and the finest robes and the biggest palace and the nicest city. No, he says, you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. A baby lying in a manger? No crown, no throne, no. A baby lying in a manger. This is why Philippians 2:7 tells us that Jesus took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. He came as one of us, just a normal, everyday person. Still God, but one of us. Amen. Then suddenly in the midst of the glory of God, if that's not terrifying enough, all of a sudden the angel is joined by what is called a multitude of the heavenly host. There's such a great number of angels present that the human mind cannot fathom. Amen. It was as if all of heaven broke loose with rejoicing at the birth of Jesus. All of heaven rejoicing. The Savior, the Christ, God is here for you in the flesh. Then they go away. I mean, can you imagine that? That would be one night that is special that you remember and you're just like, what in the world just happened to me? An angel appears, then the glory of God shines. He gives this great announcement, then a multitude of angels appears, and now they're gone. Am I just supposed to go back to life as usual? No. As soon as this is announced, the shepherds say, let's go find this kid. Let's go find this baby, right? They hurry off to find Mary and Joseph and the baby. And they do. God's word, as always, proves trustworthy. What he promises, he fulfills. And having seen the child, they cannot remain silent. They begin to tell Mary and Joseph, and apparently there's others around them, because it says that all that heard it marveled. But they hope, the hope that they had heard about and had seen, now must be shared. They see the hope of the world lying in a manger, and their lives are forever changed. They spread the word concerning what they had been told. Everybody who heard it is amazed. They leave from where Jesus is at and they go back and they're glorifying God. They're praising God because encountering Jesus had made them something other than what they were. Encountering Jesus had made them bold witnesses, the first proclaimers of the gospel. Mark Lowry wrote a song called "Mary Was the First One to Carry the Gospel." And it means, you know, she had Jesus inside of her as a baby, and she carried him, and he is the gospel. So if we say that's true, then let's call the shepherds, instead of the first ones who carried the gospel, the first ones who proclaimed the gospel. They were the first ones who told others about him. And the reason that that happens is because the hope of Jesus was never meant to be kept to ourselves. It's not meant to stay in the manger. It's not meant to stay in this church building. It's meant to be told, to be shared. Like the shepherds, we're called to share this hope with the world around us. See, Jesus is our hope. And if you've never received this hope, make today the day. Romans 10:9 tells us that we can trust Jesus as our Savior and Lord and be saved. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you haven't done that, and God is working in your heart, bringing you to life right now, then confess and believe this morning. And in a moment when we stand to sing, I want you to just come to me and let me know that you've done that. And I want to walk with you through the steps of giving your life to Jesus, pray with you, celebrate with you. But make today the day that you give your heart and life to Christ. Receive that greatest Christmas gift ever given. For those who know Christ here this morning, let this Christmas renew your hope. Share it freely and boldly like the shepherds. Live in light of the hope that never fades. And leave this place today glorifying and praising God, carrying the hope of Jesus to a world that so desperately needs it. Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to the close of our time together, Lord, I ask that you would use what has been done here today through the music that the choir has presented, through this short message on the hope of Jesus. The fact that he has come, that we now are to share that hope with others. God, I pray you would just use what is done here today to renew that sense of hope and the sense of urgency in sharing that hope, or the sense of urgency in receiving that hope if there's anyone who doesn't know you today. So God, however you see fit to move in this time as we respond, we ask that we would be obedient and that you would receive the honor and glory. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.